Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hello, thanks for joining me for episode 34. Of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, life-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And can I just say that I am so glad to be talking about something other than death and shadow work today. I devoted all of October to those subjects, and the newsletter I just sent out last night was all about death, laying things to rest, and dead mice. We've had some dead mice happening around here. I don't know if you read my newsletter or not, but it was not pleasant. So yeah, I'm happy to be talking about something happy today, the happy-go-lucky witch. And this is a subject that I have had written on my to-do list for most of the year. And when I went flipping through that list to find something more uplifting to focus on today, it really jumped out at me. So I guess today is the day that we are talking about the happy-go-lucky witch. And I'll often hear a word or a term for many years, all of my life in some cases, before one day it will just grab me in an entirely new way. And happy-go-lucky is one of those terms. Actually, it's written with hyphens and considered one word in the dictionary, not how I wrote it in the little description. So it's happy-go-lucky, and it's considered one word, which I did not know until I went and looked it up for this show. And according to the freedictionary.com, happy-go-lucky means taking things easily, carefree. Merriam-Webster describes it as being blithely unconcerned or not worried about anything. And when you consider that, beginner's luck starts to make a whole lot of sense. Which reminds me of beginner's mind in Zen Buddhism, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself here and explaining how all these things connect. So let me just start with the law of attraction. The law of attraction, at its most basic and stripped down, is all about like attracts life, which does include the way opposites attract. I know I've gotten a few messages from people asking me, well, if that's true, then how do you take into account that opposites attract? It's totally true, but I will have to talk about that at another time when I have more time. Maybe that'll be its own episode or video. I'm due for a video. I haven't made one in a while that's just topical like that. But anyway, if like attracts like, let's say that it does, upbeat people tend to attract upbeat people and situations. Miserable people tend to attract miserable people and situations. A wealth-centric mindset tends to attract money-making opportunities, and a poverty mentality tends to attract financially stressful situations. So in a sense, happy-go-lucky, I was thinking about those things when the word happy-go-lucky really struck me as being a true statement, happy, go lucky. When you are happy, you will go lucky into the world. Happiness creates more happiness. And people who practice the law of attraction, they use a wide variety of techniques in order to make themselves a match to what it is they desire, to make themselves lucky, so to speak, to make a little magic happen, which is where I feel psychology comes into play with magic. So much of magic, at least the way that I practice it, is really about playing little tricks on yourself, manipulating your mood and mental state to get yourself into a place where you are a better match for what it is you are trying to create. So even just lighting a stick of incense or repeating a mantra can have that effect to some degree. And it really is that simple. And as long-term practitioners often find out, that complex. It becomes complex when you realize that you are the one pulling the strings and the one for whom the strings are being pulled. So that's a lot more complicated than when you first begin and you're all excited and awestruck by the way a certain affirmation or chant seems to magically bring to you what you want. And that happens to people when they very first learn about Nichiren Buddhism, as I talked about in an earlier episode, or magic, or the law of attraction. They're all very similar. And it seems so easy at first, and they can hardly believe their luck. That is, until they keep practicing and realize that, ooh, bummer, it's not quite as easy as it first seemed. What they initially experienced was a classic case of beginner's luck that was born of, you know, pure belief and expectation. Usually, though, that first taste of beginner's luck is enough to whet their appetite, and then they go off in search of how they can do that again. And that's when their libraries grow exponentially. That is what happened to me. Shunryo Suzuki says in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. So it's kind of a catch-22. The more you learn sometimes, the more you fill your brain up with the how-to of it, the harder it can get. And beginner's mind is about maintaining that sense of enthusiasm and optimism, even a little bit of naivete that you had in the beginning, even many years into your practice. That beginner's mind, keeping that going, it is, in a way, a kind of cultivated innocence. You have to maintain the eyes of a child to see the magic of life, to be a lucky person, to be one of those people for whom life just seems to go their way. Have you ever met one of those people? There's a lot of those, actually, that come through Hollywood. I did go to a Halloween party in the Hollywood Hills. That was... Oh, I've got stories about that. But I haven't been hanging out in Hollywood in many years, but that was my hangout for well over a decade. And you would find these sort of drifters, you know, would come through town, and they were surfers often. They'd be like male models who were discovered on their surfboard, and like all these opportunities just sort of came to them, and they were like the most laid back people. And I was always just like, what is that? Because just so many opportunities just seemed to come their way, and they were almost cocky about it. They had a sense of expectation. And I used to really bemoan those people for whom everything seemed to flow until I realized that those people usually fall into one of two camps. They were either raised to expect life to respond to them in a certain way. They were raised with a sense of entitlement, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I know we often say that negatively, but I don't know. I don't think it's such a negative word to have a sense of entitlement to some degree. Even hearing myself say it, there's a voice in the back of my head going, yes, now that's an evil word, entitlement. But they were raised with a certain expectation that they would be treated like a VIP, that they were worth a whole lot of money, or that other people would love them. I mean, it can present itself in different ways. There'll be the person that is not physically that attractive, but seems to be a chick magnet regardless, or somebody just, no matter what they do, seems to have the Midas touch, and they seem to be able to make a lot of money. So that can manifest in a variety of ways. So that's like one camp. I said, you know, those people usually fall into two different camps. And then the other one is that maybe they started out early, maybe in their young teens, having to fend for themselves and make their own way. Maybe at some point they realize, like, whoa, you know, I'm not from a wealthy family, or I'm I'm from a really poor situation, you know, maybe a place of abuse, and maybe they wanted to rise above it. So in those early years, they learned that they would have to make their own luck. And then these are the people who go out and earn scholarships and then kick ass straight out of college. So they seem to have a bit of luck on their side, or a more optimistic disposition in that they would even have the wherewithal to make their own luck. Because I know a lot of people in those situations, the situations just kind of pull on them and hold them down. And So what does that mean for the rest of us? Maybe the ones that got held down by our situations. Maybe our situation wasn't that bad, but we just weren't raised with that sense of entitlement or that deep sense of self-love and worthiness that had us going out into the world and kicking ass and things just kind of going our way. Does that mean that it's too late for the rest of us to develop a similar attitude and a way of being in the world? I don't think so, but it is easier when you are born into a family that supports those beliefs in you from a very early age, because now you'll have to do the work of creating those beliefs for yourself, and creating new beliefs can be tricky. And the real magic, the real luck starts to kick in when those beliefs become a knowing, and that's where practice comes in. I'm sure you have heard the old phrase that luck is a matter of preparation meeting opportunity. I've also heard it said that luck is when hard work meets opportunity. Thomas Jefferson is quoted as saying, "I am a great believer in luck, and I find that the more I work, the more I have of it." You will find a lot of famous quotes like that online, and for the most part, very successful people agree that luck requires some kind of conscious effort. But Tennessee Williams, one of my favorite writers, said something even more intriguing. He said that luck is believing you are lucky. Yes, that is what I'm trying to say here. Luck is believing you are lucky, and that is the magic of it. Believing is seeing. And in that regard, belief is luck, and luck is magical. Did that make sense? Believing is seeing. Instead of seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Belief is luck, and luck is magical. I saw a bumper sticker once that read, "A happy witch leads a charmed life." And you can probably tell from what I'm saying here that I believe that. I see, and happy doesn't necessarily mean like, la-di-da-di-da-di-da, like happy, smiley, all light and love all the time. I just mean a person who is content and with a positive attitude. I see too many people in the witchy community specifically focused on who is the more badass witch, and they're getting into altercations with each other and trying to out-curse each other. You will hear them say things like, "Do not fuck with this witch," and then they will go on to continue fucking with each other. And there is even a name for it now. Apparently they call it the Witch Wars. I'm not kidding. And they take their magic and themselves very seriously. And these are the same people who will throw around terms like fluffy bunny and speak about their magic as being real magic in an attempt to elevate themselves and put down others. And meanwhile, they are broke as a joke and caught up in the drama of their lives. The proof is in the witchy pudding, people. And you don't see too much of that in the law of attraction community, which admittedly has its own issues. But for the most part, people there are focused on creating love and happiness and money and success, and because they believe that like attracts like, you are unlikely to see them spending much time wallowing in lack or hating on each other. Where they can get into trouble is when they try to deny their shadow side and pretend that everything is all love and light when it's not, because pretending doesn't work. There is a measure of truth to the old saying, fake it till you make it, but at some point, you've got to make it. You've got to make that feeling, that state, a reality in order to create a match. That's why I say it's a little bit tricky. And that is where tools like affirmations, EFT, shadow work, scripting, mirror work, and all the stuff I talk about on this show come into play. And play is a very good word to use here. If you can refrain from taking all of this too seriously or just looking at all of these techniques and being like, it's just too overwhelming. Like, why would I want to spend my life doing that? Like, no, thank you. If you can approach magic and the law of attraction, the creation of luck, with a sense of play, you will have found a groovy little place to hang out in which beginner's mind can start to do its thing. If you can come at it from a place of what if rather than this has to work, you're gonna have a lot more success, and it's going to be a more enjoyable ride. The journey is the destination. The journey will be a lot more pleasant, I promise you. Just tell yourself that you are playing around, playing a game, conducting a little experiment, and you will right away have lightened up the atmosphere and made room for something miraculous to occur, a little magic. And I do think that turning it over to God or your angels or your spirit guide or the universe or whatever it is you believe in is another way to do this. If you're like a more reverent person and it's hard for you to wrap your mind around like seeing your magic, if you take yourself very seriously and you can't really conceive of it as being something playful like that, you're not playing games. You know, you're dead serious about this. If you can turn it over to whatever it is you pray to, your spirit guides, your angels, your totem animals, that can work just as well. I talked about this back when I did an episode on having a spirit-led day, but having a spirit-led day, having a spirit-led life in which you let spirit be your guide allows you to open yourself up more to the possibilities. You start to look for signs, and when you start looking for signs or opportunities, you start to find them. And lucky people stay open to the possibilities. They have a whole other way of seeing the world than the rest of us. They are great at recognizing and acting upon so-called chance opportunities, and they keep themselves in the flow of those opportunities by being engaged with life, networking, socializing, and just staying open to new experiences. And lucky people are also, they're very creative in their thinking. They create their own luck. And I just heard the very best example of this on Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income podcast. Unfortunately, I do not remember the name of the guest who was telling Pat this story, but I will tell it to you as best as I can remember it because I think it really drives this point home. This guy had a friend who reminds me a lot of those, like, surfer model dudes I was just telling you about. He had this friend who, I don't even know what he did for a living, but I think he was a wealthy guy, and he was bragging to his buddies that he was going to live rent-free. Next year, he wanted to live the entire year rent-free. And they're like, okay, how are you going to do that? And what he did, he knew that radio stations at the end of the year, they have surplus ad hours that they haven't sold. They have all of these they have all this ad space that they haven't sold, and that's just going to go wasted at the end of the year if nobody buys it. So he saw that as an opportunity. He was just in the flow of life, and he heard that little factoid, and so he got on the phone, and he called up a whole bunch of radio stations, and he said, there's a term for it, but I can't remember what that is. He just asked them if he could buy their extra airtime that they had at 50 cents on the dollar, and because they were just going to throw it away, they all said yes, and so he got all of this ad space for 50 cents on the dollar. And then he called real estate managers. I don't know how many of those he called, but he called them and he said, hey, I'm willing to offer you ad space on these, you know, big radio stations for 50 cents on the dollar. And so the ad, so if you pay 50 cents on the dollar for this ad space to me, all I want in return is a year of free living. So I want to rent one of your, whatever, apartments or condos for free for the whole year in exchange for giving you this deal. And he got it. And just like that, just by being open to playing the game of life and staying open to the possibilities, he made his own luck. I mean, that's a serious case of creating your own luck. I was very impressed by this story. And he did it with such ease and such a sense of play and expectation. Like, he was bragging to his friends that it was going to work. And it did. And what's funny is that guy probably has all kinds of haters in his wake, you know, just like scratching their heads at his seeming success. Meanwhile, he's having the time of his life, going with the flow and staying open to whatever opportunities present themselves. And people like that, they are just looking at the world from a whole other paradigm. They are truly the happy-go-lucky among us. And with a little shift in perspective, you can be one of those people, too. Don't worry. Be happy. And maybe there's more truth to that than we realize. Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Maybe we need to listen to that song again. Regardless, that is my show for today. I hope you liked it, and I hope that it brought you a little bit of happiness and a whole lot of luck to your day. I will see you next Tuesday. And actually, I will send you off with much love and peace, but Bobby McFerrin, he's been sitting here waiting for you on YouTube, and apparently he wants to close out the show today. So here he is. He's got something to say to you. Enjoy. Look at me, I'm happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Hey, I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I'll make you happy.
Hey, I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I'll make you happy.
Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style. Ain't got no girl to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy. Cause when you're worried, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. happy now.
Have you had enough? Oh, I hope to see you next Tuesday. Have a beautiful day. Much love. Peace.